Here you go again. Young, free, and single. After being out of the game for a while, it's time to get back on the horse. And today is the day.
That's right. You're getting yourself a date. And how are you doing it? You're creating a dating profile.
Pictures uploaded, answers complete. Your profile is brilliant, and the search begins. You swipe through a sea of desirable profiles, dishing out like after like until your work here is done. All you have to do now is wait for the matches to come flooding in.
The morning arrives. Your heart is pounding with nerves and anticipation. You grab your phone and it almost feels like you can feel the weight of matches waiting for you in your inbox. You open the app and...
nothing. You stare at one notification. Welcome to Hinge. No matches, no date, no success.
So what happened? Do people really just not fancy you? What if I told you there could be a more scientific answer and that we can give you the formula to create the perfect dating profile?
Hello and welcome to How to Hack the Brain. I'm Ziba Goddard.
And I'm Raffi March.
This is the podcast where we find out how to solve your everyday problems using behavioural science as our guide.
In today's episode, we're going to tell you how to create the perfect dating profile so that you can secure a date or four.
In this episode, you'll hear real-life dating stories from our experienced dater, Becky, and top insights from Michael Kay at OkCupid to find out what makes people really attractive online.
And I'll be taking to the streets to ask members of the public if they would swipe left or right on our Brave Volunteers profile, both before and after their Hinge transformation.
Hello, Raffi.
Hey, Ziba.
So we've all been single at some point and we know how tough dating is. The energy it takes to even find a person to go on a date with is exhausting, let alone then having to choose a venue, keep a conversation flowing, and always just having to present the best version of yourself. So what should actually be a really fun and exciting experience is often just a bit of a chore. But shouldn't dating apps make life easier?
I mean, in theory, yes. When dating apps actually blew up in the early 2010s, they were praised as this time-saving tool to find your soulmate. But with the recent boom of dating apps, singles have a brand new problem. Now everyone has access to pretty much every single person in their city. So it's become really tough to separate the wheat from the chaff. We're also not as romantic as we like to think. People would rather judge 50 pictures in 2 minutes than spend 50 minutes assessing one potential partner. So it's the prospect of a reward and finding a match that's more exciting than the reward itself.
Well, that explains why we keep going back to them instead of going on a date. And if you're new to this world, so you're not profile savvy and you're quite unskilled in efficiently presenting who you are, you're instantly dropped to the bottom of the pile. Actually, studies have shown that 28% of people have actually been ghosted, and 74% of people said they believe ghosting was an acceptable way to end a relationship. So have you been ghosted, or have you ghosted someone? I'm guessing you've ghosted people.
Well, I can't say that I've ghosted. I've definitely been ghosted, but I've probably done something a bit weirder.
Oh, tell me more.
So I went on a night out. I was tasked by my friends to go over to a table and I had to complete a secret mission, and my one was to have an Australian accent. So I love any chance to do an accent, went over to this table, started being Australian, and actually was very taken by one of the guys on that table, who also surprisingly was taken by me. By the end of the night, we exchanged numbers and agreed to go on a date. And then when it came to the date, I panicked. And I just started doing this Australian accent all over again. And it wasn't until maybe our third, fourth, fifth date, I can't remember which one, that I admitted I wasn't Australian at all and had to come clean.
Oh my God, there's another world where he is telling this crazy story about this crazy girl.
I mean, he still wanted to go out with me, so I got round it. But I guess presenting the best version of yourself or the accurate version of yourself is probably quite important.
Yeah. But dating apps can really work. In 2023, there were over 337 million people using dating apps worldwide. So over a third of new marriages started online, which is incredible. And that trend is growing year on year. But those are just the numbers. So let's get a personal take. We got in touch with my friend Becky, who's been on the apps for a couple of years now. And I've heard some remarkable stories from Becky over the years, from terrible dates to really amazing dates, actually, and all that's in between. So she's perfectly placed to give us a well-rounded perspective on navigating the sometimes murky waters of online dating.
Hello, Becky.
Hi, Ziva. How are you?
Really good, thank you. And you?
Not too bad, thank you. It's lovely to see you.
You too. So can you just introduce yourself and just tell us a bit about your dating app journey and I suppose your experience of browsing other people's profiles?
So, hi, I'm Becky. I come from Surrey and I've been dating for just under 2 years now. It was certainly a different experience going into dating for the first time online. And all the experiences I've had, I kind of have a stop-start approach because it is quite draining, to say the least.
So while I'm sure going on some of these dates can be a lot of fun, you said it's quite draining. I suppose the sheer number of people out there on apps means you have to be, I imagine, quite organised and regimented when you're looking through profiles. Is that right?
I think there's two different approaches when you're looking at these profiles. So you kind of want to go in a little bit organically and you want to look and see if there's someone that you're naturally attracted to, because we always used to go into places physically and the first thing would be an attraction level, I'm sure. But then you're kind of using your headspace as well. So as much as someone might look nice, you're kind of looking at the profile. And the way I think about dating is it is a little bit like job hunting. It's a weird sort of way to look at it, but I think it really helps me knowing that this isn't just about an instant connection. There's got to be a bit more thought about it. So when you're job hunting, it's obviously very important not to lie on your CV. But unfortunately, with a lot of profiles, a few people do kind of exaggerate some of their truths, let's just say. One of the recent dating experiences, let's say, was a gentleman who put down that he was a non-smoker, that he was a certain height, that he had a law degree, that he had his own home. So all of these things. And just by dating and getting to know him, it became apparent that these things weren't quite true.
So can you tell us any stories of bad dates that have started on a dating app?
Yeah, of course. So I set myself a challenge on going on a date a week, which was quite a challenge. And one of the first dates I went on was a guy who was a sports presenter, which was quite interesting because it's not your average kind of role. But when I met with him, it wasn't quite true. I think he'd had a couple of sports gigs in the past, but he actually did presenting on things like speed dating events. So it wasn't quite the same. And also just at the beginning of our date, he was late, which, okay, that's fine, but it was quite significant. And then he was doing all these different tests and, I don't know, psychoanalyst tests on me, asking me, there's a bunch of flowers in the room, what colour would they be? And by that time I'd kind of switched off and I was doing my shopping list in my head. So, you know, you go on these experiences and often there's a lot of effort, especially for myself as a single mum. You've got childcare, then obviously, you know, you're putting the makeup on and sometimes it can just be a waste of makeup.
So when you're looking through dating profiles, what are some of the red flags that come up?
So obviously everyone has their things that they're attracted to, or, you know, you might have a type, or there might be things that you're naturally more drawn to in a person. Some people like tattoos, some people don't, etc., etc. For me, and it's a bit of an odd one, I like to go by the analogy of it's more about actions than words. So when people were putting in their profile that I'm quite into my fitness and health, and that they go to the gym, and clearly you can see on the photos that it doesn't quite add up. Or the little things I notice is I will look in the background of someone's photo, so zoom in behind the scenes. So you'll notice, I think there was one profile and this guy was standing in a mirror and behind him was a wardrobe. The rail was empty and all the clothes were on the floor. I'm like getting a gist of someone from a photo. It is judging a book by its cover, which is, you know, unfortunate, but it is a harsh world. And I often wonder what I should be putting on my profile. The question I always ask myself is, am I the hunter or am I being hunted? So am I putting things out there that I'm looking for, or am I writing my profile to have things about me for someone to, you know, pick me? So it's kind of a bit of an unknown, but I think photos are really important to me. Just looking through and seeing a variety of pictures for my own profile, I make sure that I cover sort of like the activities that I'm involved with. So picture of me working out, not the classic gym shots, but I think it's also really important not to have the filters on. So I have one photo of me, I think I'm doing a mud run and I've got no makeup on. So it's just being, I don't know, giving a really accurate and honest description of yourself and having the photos to back that up.
So what are the things that when you see them on a dating profile, you think, yes, what are the green flags?
It's a hard one to tell, but I think it's always good to see people with friends or doing something. No, so not just selfies. So, you know, with selfies, it suggests that obviously a lot of people do just have one or two photos just for the sake of a profile, but I don't think it really spells a lot about them or their interests. So I'm obviously looking for someone who is taking part in some form of sport. So if anyone plays a team sport, that's an instant tick for me. I'm not a massive drinker, so if I see them out in boozy environments, that's not something I like. But seeing them perhaps with friends or family, I think is a good indicator that, you know, they're quite a sociable person, or they, you know, might be a bit more outgoing. I'm also, I think there's a well-known anecdote that there's a lot of dating profiles of men sitting on cars or holding fish. And I still am unaware why this happens. But obviously, if they're into fishing, that's amazing. But there is a lot of people who use their profiles as a bit of bragging rights. So the watch shot, the watch is like in view. And I think I'm just more about, perhaps I'm a bit more simple living, but it's not really something that appeals to me. If you think of it like a menu, so you go to a restaurant and you look at the menu and you're looking through the dishes, which, you know, what do I really fancy or what do I really like? And often you can see these things on a menu. So say it's a chicken dish and it's got spinach in there, it's got avocado, it's got egg. And you think, oh my, I love all of these ingredients. But it's not until you're served the actual dish that you see A, how it's presented, and B, how it tastes. And I think that, in essence, is what dating is like. You can go for a profile, you can tick off all the things that you like or that you're attracted to, but it isn't until you meet that person and the final dish is served to you that you can really tell whether it's something you really enjoy, and it is just so personal.
Becky, you are a star. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. And good luck with the dates. Can't wait to hear more about them.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm definitely going to be listening back to hear what your experts have to say about creating the perfect profile. So hopefully it can help me on my journey.
Okay, so we've had a fascinating zoomed in view as to how a typical user navigates profiles. So let's talk about why people might make these blunders and why it's hard to actually secure a date. Rafi, you're an expert in behavioural design, so tell me what visual biases can have an impact.
Well, Zeeves, as you know, 50% of our cortex is involved in visual processing. So although what we're saying is really important, how we present that information is also key. And specifically, we do have a reliance on pictures. So we can read words in 300 milliseconds, read and understand them in 400 milliseconds, but it takes us just 13 milliseconds to understand an image.
Okay, so imagery is going to get our attention every time. It sounds like it's really important to have the right pictures.
Exactly. I wonder why then so many people... men choose things like sitting on cars or holding fish.
I know, it's a textbook example of peacocking. They're showcasing attributes, whether it's wealth, status or physical prowess, in a bid to stand out in a dating landscape.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it ties into what Becky said about, am I the hunter or the hunted? These displays are less about showing genuine interests and more about saying, pick me through a show of external status.
Yeah, and then there's the principle of managing expectations, the low expectations and high experience phenomenon. If we go into a date with a modest expectation due to a less flashy profile, we might actually be pleasantly surprised by the person behind it, leading to a much better experience.
Absolutely. So how does it look from the other side? What happens when we zoom out and look at the way users behave en masse? To try and identify some patterns and general rules for creating the most engaging profiles, we spoke to Michael Kay, who is the Director of Brand Marketing and Communication at OkCupid, one of the longest running and most successful online dating services ever.
And Michael had access to over 20 years worth of data and research on what works and what doesn't work when you're putting yourself out there on a profile. So his insights are going to be fantastic. Hello, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Could you please introduce yourself and your role within OkCupid, as well as a bit of background on the company?
Absolutely. So my name is Michael Kay. I'm the Director of Brand Marketing and Communications at OkCupid. I've been here for over 4 years now. And OkCupid has been around for almost 20 years. We're one of the OGs in the dating app space. We match people on what matters to them. And what's really different about OkCupid is that we have in-app matching questions that help us connect people we feel are most compatible.
Awesome. So it can be really tough to represent yourself on a dating profile, can't it? There's so much information you need to put across, but you don't want to overwhelm potential matches and give them too much to read. Are there any particular things that people want to see in a profile?
I always tell people that everything on your profile, everything on your dating app profile, from the photos you include to the prompts you fill out, it all needs to serve a purpose. And the best way to do this is to create lists. So think about what's on your to-be-read list. What songs make it onto your Spotify playlist all the time? What shows are you currently binge-watching? Laying out information in this way not only tells someone what you're interested in, but it also gives them something to respond to. So when another person comes across your profile, they can now ask, what is your favorite thriller author, if that's the kind of books you're listing? Or what Taylor Swift era is your favorite? Or what your favorite character is on the morning show? It's going to help them see a little bit more about you, but also figure out what to say to you when the time comes.
So most dating app users will have red flags that they consider turnoffs. Is it a good idea to list these in a profile so you ward off potentially disastrous dates?
You know, I think deal breakers are really important to keep in mind. You should know what's a big no for you. But on your dating app profile, we instead want to highlight our deal makers. Our data shows that profiles with terms like pass on me if and don't like me if actually get fewer messages. Those users have fewer conversations, and they're also less likely to exchange numbers with other users that don't. So it really is common sense. It's much better to be positive with your profile and list reasons why people should like you or what you're looking for in a partner instead of what you're not looking for.
Yeah. That makes sense. So now we get to the nightmare of selecting the best picture for our profile. What does your data show around the best pictures to include of yourself?
Yeah, despite popular belief, no one actually wants to see your professional headshots. Save that for LinkedIn. No one wants to see your endless selfies. Save that for Instagram stories. When it comes to your dating app profile, what they do want to see is a glimpse at your life and your real life. Your favorite activities, your hobbies, your interests. If I were to create a dating app profile today, I'd upload a photo of me at the Harry Potter tour in London or at the Eras tour this past summer or the photo I took at my local SoulCycle studio. That shows people what I tend to do for fun. They can then message me about Harry Potter, Taylor Swift, who my favorite SoulCycle instructor is. So again, it goes back to this idea that everything really needs to serve a purpose. And when I say purpose, it should really help you with a conversation starter.
Are there any types of photos that the data shows are particularly good at getting people's attention?
Surprisingly, this is something I learned years ago. The lighting is a big deal to people. they don't want to see photos with really harsh flashes on it. And if you're going to go natural lighting and you're going to take photos outside, early to mid-afternoon is actually the sweet spot.
Interesting. Okay, so you've made the perfect profile. You've matched with a ton of potential dates. What's your advice for that potentially awkward first contact?
Well, first of all, you don't want to say hi, hello, or hey. That actually has the highest rate of being ignored. We actually, a couple of years ago, asked our daters what they think the best icebreaker is. And asking a question, according to our users, is the best icebreaker. The majority of OkCupid daters agree it's better than a simple introduction, a joke, or even mentioning something on their profile. So 30% of millions and millions of daters, so this is a huge sample size, 30% of daters said asking a question is their favorite icebreaker. 28% said a simple introduction that gives their name and a little bit more information about them is the best icebreaker. 25% are open to you telling a joke. I know that that's what the data says, but I always put a disclaimer that you have to be really careful, because if your humor is not their humor and it doesn't land, it could be super awkward. And then 17% of people like when someone mentions something on their profile.
For the profile photos, is there anything that draws people's attention? So, for example, facial hair or the color that you're wearing, for example?
Yeah, of course. Well, it depends on who you are. But what we hear time and time again is that men tend to really be drawn to profiles where women are wearing red. And women are actually really into facial hair on OkCupid. So when we've asked, less than 6% of women say they're not into facial hair. So that's a lot of women who are open to it. And another tip is people always ask if they can include group photos on their dating app profile. And the answer is yes and no. It's fine to include a couple of group photos, but you don't want to include a group photo in your first 2 to 3 photos on your dating app profile. So many of us are really busy. And if someone is looking through your profile quickly, they don't want to be confused by your photos and spending too much time searching, trying to figure out which person you are.
And I'm really interested to know, is there any data around having photos with pets?
We actually asked our users how they feel about dogs in profile photos on dating apps. And 40% of people said it's a major turn-on for them. And women are actually more likely than men to say they're really into this. They want to see other daters with dogs in their profile photos.
So are there any other general tips you can give for creating the perfect dating profile?
Another tip that I learned that I always like to give out there, similar to a resume, you really want to avoid spelling mistakes. Our data shows that people say they're 75% less likely to respond to someone who has a lot of spelling mistakes in their profile. So you definitely want to proofread your dating app profile. Maybe get a friend to proofread too if you created it while you were 1 or 2 glasses of wine in.
That's a brilliant tip. Michael, thank you so much for speaking to us today. That was awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Wow, that was great, Zeebs. I love the insider scoop based on actual dating data.
Absolutely. I think there were some great nuggets in there from Michael. And we've also got our own insights to add. The first one I thought was interesting is when he was talking about group photos being great, but later on in your profile photos. And actually, I think an additional piece there is to think about the relativity bias, that shorter friends can make you look taller, but equally super attractive friends might actually make you look less attractive. So pick your mates in your photos carefully.
Absolutely. And another thing Michael said is that dog pictures are really good. And I think the reason this one works so well is because it taps into the power of cute. This is something that Disney does amazingly. All of their characters have these really round faces and these large eyes. And what that does is it prompts an oxytocin response, which helps to build trust. So when we see someone with a dog, we're starting to build that trust. But of course, another consideration is if that dog isn't yours, you might break that up front. So have dogs, but make sure they're yours.
The third thing I thought was interesting was when Michael talked about having a question as a great first interaction. And we often call this the foot in the door effect, which gives people a really easy first step. So they're more likely to respond. It could even be, which beard should I wear on our first dates? Because we know beards are in.
Yes, I love that. And then the final thing, Michael also talked about how men like pictures of women wearing red. And we know there's so much psychology around that colour. It's really salient. It's the best colour at getting our attention. So it's no surprise. But if we think about it from the other side, what is it that women like? The psychology also says that who takes the picture becomes really important. And actually, if guys get a girl to take their photo, they come across as a lot more friendly and they look a lot more happier and attractive.
So I think at this stage, we've got a pretty good idea of how we can create our perfect profile. We've heard from a user about her experiences browsing profiles and what works for her and what doesn't work for her. And we've heard from one of the biggest online dating companies about what their data can tell us.
To put all this knowledge to the test, we enlisted a volunteer as our dating app user called Ash. We carefully crafted a dating profile using all the advice from Becky and Michael, highlighting the green flags and including all the things that we've learned people are looking for in an attractive profile. We also had Ash's original profile. So let's see what happened when I took these two profiles to the general public, picking people from shopping centres, train stations and our local pub to get their reactions and find out if all the tips we've heard really work in practice. First, we presented people with Ash's original profile. Now, this profile had a group photo as the first picture, messy backgrounds in other pictures, a photo with a Christmas tree, and a long list of personal dislikes. So let's hear the public's reactions.
Hi, so we are recording a podcast about creating the perfect dating profile.
Okay.
I'd love to show you a profile and just get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, sure. So my first thought is that he put a group photo with some lads on holiday as his first picture. So I'm not really sure which one he is.
First picture is a waste. I don't want to see your first picture of a group of friends. Which one are you? You've wasted my time already. So now I've got to scroll down to the second picture to work out who you were in that group. No. That, like, if you want to make... Like, first impressions count, right? So let me see you.
Yeah.
Not you in a bunch of friends, and now I've got to guess which one it is, so then I've got to scroll. No.
Which gentleman am I looking at? How do I know which one is the person?
I always think it's a bad idea to start with a group photo. So I would normally not do that, start with a group photo. But, you know, the others are cute, you know. I mean, I don't get the Christmas tree one, but...
And so many pictures of being inside... It's just unappealing. And what is the Christmas tree about? It's corny. And the rose, it's cheesy. No.
Well, it's hard to tell which one I am supposed to be looking at, but it does keep me curious in the way I would quite like to know which one it is. So I would then click on. If I'm in a rush, I would just swipe no, because I haven't got time to decide which one it is. If you're putting up a group picture, the chances are you're not the best looking one out of the bunch.
I don't know, it's posed. That's what it is. It's just posed. I mean, I think within all the others of just him, it's quite a lot, but if it was just that, I don't know. I don't know that I think much of it.
He's also got a picture of a dirty dishes behind him in the kitchen, so makes me feel like he's quite a messy person. And
dirty kitchen, dirty man,
absolutely.
And the photo with the rose, I'm wondering which previous ex-girlfriend took that off him. potentially that's him trying to show he's romantic, but it does look a bit forced. I also noticed he's wearing the same jumper and the coat, so he obviously doesn't have much creativity with his wardrobe.
Okay, so a definite no to the group picture as your first picture. So that lines up perfectly with what Michael told us. People didn't like the weird, kooky Christmas photo or the dirty kitchen background in another photo. And people really do turn into little detectives, zooming in to see the details and thinking what they might give away about the person.
Let's move on to the About section of the profile and hear people's reactions to that. And remember, we included a list of don't match with me if statements when both Michael and Becky said they were major turnoffs.
I think questions about we'll get along if, I'm not really a fan of that because you're already making a judgment too quickly.
Then if you scroll down, there's zero positives, which is not really a mood for me. Because why would you want someone that's negative constantly rather than positive straight away?
the first bit of info he's given is, we'll get along if you're not a loud person, not vegetarian, and you don't have cats. It's quite negative. I'm not really sure what he is after, only what he's not, which gives the impression that he's quite big-headed.
We'll get along if, there's some real kind of red lines here, weren't there?
What is it? What's standing out to you?
We'll get along if you're not a loud person and you're not a vegetarian. I'm like, well, that is me. I'm both of those. I'm quite a loud person and I'm vegetarian. I mean, the rest of it's but that's quite bold, isn't it? It's been like, I will like you if you're not who you are. Yeah. You know what I mean?
We'll get along if you're not a loud person. You're not a vegetarian. I'm actually a vegan, so I'm not a vegetarian. You don't have cats. I have a cat. This isn't going very well, sir.
We'll get along if you're not a loud person. I feel like if you ever had an excited moment, potentially you might get told off or get given a look because you're being overexcited. And maybe he doesn't want a loud person because he's also a little bit boring.
Oh, it's fascinating to hear people's reactions to their red flags in real time. Hearing the thought process is actually really useful. So leading with the negatives really is not the attitude people are looking for. But next up, we've got the controversial opinion section. Asher's was that he didn't believe in the man paying for the whole bill on the first date.
I do agree that the male shouldn't necessarily pay 50-50 straight up, but it does depend on the mood. So maybe sometimes I've been on dates where I'll pay the whole amount because I feel like it's right or blah, blah, blah. It shouldn't be a statement. It should be more like a feeling on the day.
So after looking at the profile, would you swipe left or right? Yes or no?
No. I would swipe no.
You would swipe no. Okay.
Yeah, I would probably swipe left to this guy. I'm sorry. Yeah, no.
Okay,
no.
Okay. Would you swipe yes or no?
No.
It's a no from you.
It's a no from me.
It's so confused. He's so confusing. I feel like he doesn't want me to come near him, but he's very lonely. Yeah, this isn't a good one. Sorry, Ash. That's a no.
So that would be a no.
That's a no.
So pretty unanimous there on the swiping left for no to that profile. Michael's data really bears out there, so I've got high hopes for people's reactions to the next profile.
This one's a lot nicer. First picture is of him, not a group of people, and a dog. I'm not really an animal lover, but I can appreciate that.
We love dogs. We're into dogs. It shows some affection and care for anything other than yourself, basically. That's
empathy.
That's the word. Here we are.
Okay. What do you think of that first picture?
It's a really nice natural picture. I do feel like everyone, if they have a dog, they show that they have a dog because they know it works. So he's clued into the modern times.
Big win for the dog pictures there. Let's hear what the reactions are to the more positive approach in the bio section.
Green flags. Okay, he started with the green flags, not the red. Like that. Okay, cool. Likes to drink, that's fine. Plays a bit of pool, all right.
I like pool. Shows that he has interests outside of maybe just football and he can concentrate very well.
If we zoom in, a little tongue out.
Oh, yeah. So he's cheeky.
He's cheeky.
Okay, he's got a bit of humour, he likes karaoke. And he's asking a question, what's your soundtrack? He's in trying to engage.
I think it opens up room for conversation and I think that it gives you an opportunity to get to know them a little bit more. It doesn't mean, if you have a different interest, it doesn't mean that you won't get on, but it's just something to then move on. Well, it's a chance to move on from the small talk and start to get to know them a bit better.
I just appreciate that they cared or wanted to know what you were listening to. I don't really care what they're listening to. It's nice to know if you have something similar, but it doesn't actually really wholly matter.
Yeah.
The key to my heart is laughing at my crap jokes and I laugh at yours. Love that. Sense of humour. Yeah, look, he knows out with his workmates. Cool. Yeah, this is 100% better than the other one.
Nice.
100.
So, would it be a yes or no for you?
Yes.
I'll swipe yes.
Brilliant. Thank you.
So we have a clear winner. The difference in the reactions to the two profiles was night and day.
So let's round up our findings. Here is your ultimate guide to creating the perfect dating profile.
Okay, firstly, pictures are incredibly important. Photos of having fun with friends and family are great, but don't use them as your first couple of images.
Use pictures of yourself taking part in the activities you love. Show people who you are rather than tell them in the bio, especially if it's a controversial opinion. It's okay to not want to pay the whole bill, but maybe don't put it up front.
If you've got a dog of your own, definitely include that in your profile.
Make sure you're thinking about the background of your pictures. You could be the most gorgeous person in the world, but if you're standing in a messy kitchen, people will swipe left.
When you're writing about yourself, always lead with positivity. People don't want to hear what you hate.
Instead, include lists of books, films, or music you enjoy. This tells people so much about you and invites interaction and sharing from others.
And finally, always double check your spelling.
Remember that we use the same person in the pictures for both profiles, and we didn't include any conflicting information in the bio section. So in theory, both of these profiles could represent the exact same person. This shows us that how you present yourself online really makes a difference, and that with a few tweaks and hacks, you can improve your prospects of finding the perfect partner. It's also worth mentioning that the reactions were universal across different age ranges, genders, and sexualities. So these insights are really powerful.
So let's end on three psychologically sound tips. So the first is the foot in the door technique. Start by asking a really interesting question to get a response.
Next is relativity bias, because everything is relative. So choose your friends wisely that you want to stand next to.
And finally, the picture superiority bias. Show that pictures paint 1,000 words. So choose them carefully, especially if you're trying to attract a man.
Absolutely. So we let the profiles go live on Hinge, and we saw some fascinating results. Not only did the optimized profile get significantly more likes, but what was really interesting is what people actually liked. So in the optimized profile, the dog picture was overwhelmingly the favorite that people went for.
Interesting.
And in the unoptimized profile, people weren't liking the controversial opinions, they weren't liking the messy sinks, just as our experts suggested. There was also a really interesting gender difference, where 50% of women would pick a prompt over a picture to interact with, whereas 9 out of 10 men would always pick a photo as a way of sending a message. So we know that pictures are incredibly important, especially if you're trying to appeal to a guy. John, I feel as though we've genuinely performed a public service there.
I know. Just imagine all the successful dates that our listeners will be going on now that they know how to hack their dating profile.
We hope you found this episode useful and that you now feel confident in giving your profile a glow up. May your DMs be full with great matches.
Thanks to Becky and Michael for being such great guests on this episode. And also thanks to our brilliant On The Street profile judges.
How to Hack the Brain is a Fascinate Productions podcast for Cowrie Consulting, part of the VCCP group. This episode was produced by Frankie Taylor, Rowan Bishop and Richard Willen.
If you enjoyed this episode, you can press follow to be notified when a new episode lands. And if you know someone who might benefit from behavioural science tips and tricks, don't forget to hit share.
Thanks for listening and see you next time.